Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. And today we're playing a classic series I have on holiness. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. And God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto them the word of reconciliation. Yes, we are reconciled to God. Our sins are not imputed against us, but the Bible says, be holy. What know you not? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Walking holy is required for walking in the dunamis power of God. It's not just to get you into heaven. It's what is required for power. Shalom.
I heard Norville Hayes talk about the time God came in his car and killed him. He told me it was like chaff was burning in his life. First then I will say, the baptism in the Holy Ghost meant to me a heart searching, as I had never before known, with no rest, until in every instance the blood was consciously applied and my life set free from the particular thing that God had revealed. As I say, this process continued for 6 months after my baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now, I found that they all went through that. Here's a man. Think how good that would do us if before someone went up to minister the power of God, they had literally stayed before the face of God. Like, for instance, if they had something against their fellow minister, I know you find that hard to believe, but I'm telling you, I know that some ministers in the past, I believe it's a thing of the past by faith, have had things against other ministers, and they've been jealous and all kinds of things. And then you see that short circuits the power. That's what we're looking at this week. What short circuits the power? What stops the power, since it is God's will that the ministry of the Spirit is glorious? Well, some of these things haven't been fished up. Now, Brother Hagin, when he went through it, he did. He got down before the Lord. He laid his all on the altar. And when he laid his all on the altar, he said the funniest things came up. The first thing that came up was an old tin can. He said he saw it look like a tin can, old tin can, rusty. And the Lord said, now this has got to go. Bing. He said, well, what is it, Lord? He said, that's your old Baptist doctrine. And then he said he prayed more days, and something came up that looked like an old boot and had long tentacles on it. And he said, well, what in the world is that ugly-looking thing, Lord? The Lord said, it's got to go too. And he said, well, what is it? And he said, well, that's your Pentecostal doctrine you've picked up. See that? Some of that could short-circuit the power. Bless the Lord. Here's a man named Reese Howells. And Reese Howells is an intercessor, man of prayer. He was a product of the Wales Revival. And that was one of the greatest revivals of the earth. And God brought him, started dealing with him in his life and so changing him that he became a man who prayed, like Brother Halverson, spirit-guided prayers. And God used him in his life to, for instance, the Jews. He lived in England during World War II. And he lived in England when the Jews were being so mistreated in Europe and sent to the ovens. And God used him to pray the Jews, he and his Bible school, to pray the Jews back to their homeland. And during World War II, they were in England, and battle by battle, Reese Howells and his intercessors prayed the battles through before. And literally, you can see God, you can see what they kept diaries, what God showed them, the battle plans, how to stop the blitzing, and never really was Germany able to come into Britain. These were great things. And so Reese Howells, who was in that Welsh revival and went to the, during those days they had deeper life seminars, and he went to one of them, or meetings, congresses, and it was there that he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he never stopped talking about this Holy Ghost when he met the Holy Ghost. And the day before, when he was at this convention, someone spoke to him marvelous and wonderful things. And he learned the next day, we'll read it to you. The next morning, Mr. Hopkins, the minister, spoke about the Holy Spirit. He made it plain that he is a person with all the faculties of a person, exactly like the Savior. He has intelligence, love, a will. And as a person, before he comes to live in a man, he must be given full possession of his body. As he spoke, Reese said, the Holy Ghost appeared to me. He appeared to him. I suppose he could take bodily form. He took bodily form as a dove. The Holy Ghost appeared to me, and I knew him to be the one who had spoken to me the day before. And he showed me that place of splendor and glory into which natural eyes can never look. It never dawned on me before that the Holy Ghost was a person, exactly like the Savior, and that he must come and dwell in flesh and blood. I had only thought of him as an influence coming on meetings. Is that how you think of him? And that was what most of us in the Welsh revival thought. I had never seen that he must live in bodies as the Savior lived in his body on the earth. The meeting with the Holy Ghost was just as real to Reese Howells as his meeting with the Savior those years before. I saw him as a person apart from flesh and blood. And he said to me, the Holy Ghost said to Reese, as the Savior had a body, so I dwell in the cleansed temple of the believer. I am a person. I am God. And I am come to ask you to give me your body that I may work through it. I need a body for my temple, but it must belong to me without reserve. For two persons with different wills can never live in the same body. Will you give me yours? But if I come in, I come as God, and you must go out. I shall not mix myself with yourself. He made it very plain that he would never share my life. I saw the honor he gave me an offering to indwell me, but there were many things very dear to me, and I knew he wouldn't keep one of them. The change he would make was very clear. It meant every bit of my fallen nature was to go to the cross, and he would bring in his own life and his own nature. It was unconditional surrender. I took 5 days to make the decision, days which were spent alone with God. Like Isaiah, I saw the holiness of God. He said, and seeing him, I saw my own corrupt nature. It wasn't sins that I saw, but my nature touched by the fall. I was corrupt to the core. I knew I had to be cleansed. I saw there was as much difference between the Holy Ghost and myself as between light and darkness. Nothing is more real to me than the process I went through for that whole week. He continued, the Holy Spirit went on dealing with me, exposing the root of my nature, which was self. And you can only get out of a thing what is in its root. Sin was canceled. It wasn't sin he was dealing with. It was self, that thing which came from the fall. He was not going to take any superficial surrender. He put his finger on each part of my self-life, and I had to decide in cold blood. He could never take a thing away until I gave my consent. Then the moment I gave it, some purging took place, and I could never touch that thing again. It was not saying I was purged and the thing still having a hold on me. No, it was a breaking and the Holy Ghost taking control. Day by day, the dealing went on. He was coming in as God, and I had lived as man. And what is permissible to an ordinary man, he told me, will not be permissible to you. Hallelujah. Then God made a prayer out of him. The first acre he put under fresh cultivation in Reese Howell's was the prayer life. Reese had been used to praying general prayers, but if someone had asked him if he knew he was going to get an answer, he would not have known what to say. And the Holy Spirit told him, the meaning of prayer is answer. He also told him that effectual praying must be guided praying, and that he was no longer to pray for all kinds of things at his own whim or fancy, but he was to pray the prayers the Holy Ghost gave him. And that's how he came to being able to pray out the battle plans before they happened, which saved England. That's power. But it wouldn't have worked if he had not done this thing Brother Hagin talked about, laying your all on the altar. Hallelujah. David Duplessis. Justice Duplessis has been here with you, right? We had four prayer meetings back in the early 80s. And after we had these prayer meetings, we ended up in Washington, D.C. I started getting invited places as a prayer leader. I wasn't really a prayer leader. I just do some wonderful prayers. But they invited me anyway. And they invited me to this conference not far from Washington, D.C., to which they had invited leaders of prayer groups all over the country. And some of them were wonderful people. But some of them were leaders of prayer groups of denominations that do not even preach the blood of Jesus. They weren't even saved. And they wanted us all to get together and pray, I guess, I don't know for what. They never did really say. But they had us all together. And it was so hard to come to a place of agreement and prayer, especially with people who are not born again, you know. And, you know, you don't look down on them or anything. You love them, but there's just not an agreement there in prayer. And prayer requires agreement. So at that time, I had just been working for Kenneth Hagin. And when I mentioned that, some of them looked at me like with daggers in their eyes. So I escaped. I escaped the prayer conference. And I went down into the cafeteria. And down in the cafeteria, I found some other SKPs. And one of them was David Duplessis. And for the 4 days of the conference, we ran down there every day to meet with David Duplessis, and he taught us every day. It was one of the blessings, the great blessings of my life.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and what you have heard today is from my classic in-depth teaching on holiness. We'll send you the CDs of the entire series, which normally sell for $72, but we're offering them to you today for $35. Just phone us at 1-800-972-3447 and ask for the classic series on holiness. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.